You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. We now turn to more from our special series with the BBC, Six Routes to Riches, an in-depth look at the challenges and opportunities people face as they make a living around the world. We're taking a tour of six countries at the heart of the changing global economy. Last week, Germany. We heard from folks there on how the economy is changing for them, like this business owner, Jan Miem.
Like my parents' attitude, okay, you go to school, you do well in school, then you go to college, then you acquire a job, and this is the company you stay with, and then you retire. I think those times are entirely over.
Keeping up with the transitioning economy, that's a theme we also find in our next stop, Nigeria. As we learned earlier in the show, Africa's largest economy is a place where the entrepreneurial spirit is a part of daily life. Now we're going to bring back the BBC's Nkem Ifejuka.
This is Onitsha Main Market. It's the biggest in West Africa, and some say the biggest in the world. 3 million people come here every day from across the region to buy everything from high-end mobile phones to low-tech plastic containers. On the surface, Nigeria may not seem like a country that can teach the world much about how to do business. Elections have been postponed because of the insurgency raging in the northeast. Corruption is still a huge problem. Government revenues depend on the oil and gas industry, which benefits the few. But Onitsha shows that the Nigerian economy is finding other lubricants. Every Nigerian is familiar with the concept of the side hustle, a business on the side. This is a country where everyone has a startup in their front room, including my mother. I'll never forget coming home from school one holiday to find the entire living room and dining area stacked floor to ceiling with cartons of sunflower oil for sale. And it was my grandmother who taught my mum that if you were lucky enough to have a salaried job, that was just pocket money. The real money came from your 5 to 9. Can Nigeria itself turn these side hustles into something more? And how do you succeed in a country under transition? What does success look like here? Here's what Mrs. Madam Nemuche said to me at the main market. She sells wigs from a stall.
You know, when someone is successful in Nigeria, how can you tell? Is it because of the car that they drive or the kind of house that they build or they go abroad? How can you tell that somebody has made it in Nigeria?
You see his investments, his factory, his the number of employees he has. Not cars. No, not cars.
Not cars, but investments in the greater good. Something bigger than the bottom line. It's all about making a difference. And it's a common refrain among Nigerians. Adam and his colleague Chibuzo Okpara created Integra Health. It's a business that aims to transform the way that Nigerian hospitals work.
It actually started when my dad was a professor in surgery, and he died at home while my brother, I, my mom, we're all in the health industry. It's just that family of doctors. And we were at home, and when he died, he had a pulmonary embolism. When he died, it was like in 10 minutes he was dead. But he had started complaining about his health like 2 hours before. And what I realized was that he didn't die because there was a lack of resources. He died because the resources weren't deployed well.
Like many in a new wave of Nigerian entrepreneurs, Adam and Chibuzo came home to build their startup after studying and working abroad.
When we came back from Poland and we founded Integra Health, we found ourselves dealing with a lot of clinics and hospitals that had the same problem. They couldn't tell which drugs were genuine, and in addition to that, they couldn't actually get the drug that they wanted on time. They'd have to call 6 or 7 suppliers and see, okay, do you have this drug, and what is the price, and then call the other person. So it was just a tedious process that, to me, had a solution.
This is what I'm curious about. Why come back from Holland? You know, it sounds like you could have had a good life.
I mean, you're in
Europe. You know, you're in the working in the healthcare industry. They get paid very well. Why come back and suffer in Nigeria?
Because I think it's all about impact. Whatever we did in Europe, we would have been a footnote somewhere.
More than 60% of Nigeria's healthcare is private, so both the market and the challenges are huge.
One of the first places that we worked in, we found that there was poor use of drug medication. So when we came in, we told them, could you record all your drugs? And then we went through their backlog of orders and found out that 50% of the drugs they were ordering were basically the same thing.
So all those phone calls and all that hassle that Adam described that you have to go through to get hold of a certain drug in Nigeria, this hospital was doing twice as much as it needed to. How can this happen? Well, according to Adam, it's all down to the doctors.
Doctors are the healthcare system in terms of who owns the hospitals and who manages the hospitals.
You get me.
And then most of these doctors do not have any management skills. They're doctors that have been good at what they do, and they get enough patient pool around them to open up a facility, and they keep expanding from there. There are no structures in place. There are no fail-safes. There's not a standard that he's running on that ensure a certain quality.
As Chibuzor's life experience has taught him, you need more than just expertise to save lives. You need a system. And one system they want to focus on is how the hospitals get their drugs.
So we have these open, I don't know if you know, we have these open drug markets.
I know you can buy anything in Nigeria. I've never heard of open drug markets, so I'm happy to
learn. It's an open drug market.
Miles and miles of
heaps of drugs, like a fish market.
This, it turns out, is how most hospitals buy their drugs. And Chibuzor and Adam want to close down places like these. The government agency, NAFDAC, has been working on it for years. But these guys want to implement a single online ordering system to completely remove the need for the marketplace.
It's a big challenge. Yeah. It's a big challenge to shut down a system that has been the status quo for so long. Yeah. And especially when you tell hospitals, no, I don't want you to order from these drug markets. And the hospitals go like, you want me to spend 3 days calling 18 suppliers and getting fragmented orders? So before you're able to solve that, you have to give hospitals a more reliable, simpler approach to actually order their drugs before saying, okay, do not deal with these people.
But these people do include genuine drug vendors as well as fake. So doesn't Integra Health risk upsetting a lot of people?
Certified distributors are happy. The ones that are not legitimate, that cannot get on this platform, are going to definitely lose business because of the fact that we're streamlining more orders through legitimate sources. And eventually, that is our strategy to single-handedly slow down the reliance on these open drug markets when it comes to our healthcare system.
Well, not single-handedly.
single-handedly. With a bit of help.
There's a lot of hands in this place.
Integra Health has shown us how important the desire to make a difference can be in building a business. As part of Nigeria's growing services sector, there is no doubt about its potential to be transformative. But how many jobs could a company such as Integra create? And how many Integras could there be? Because in the end, it's all about creating jobs and making sure that people have enough money to spend, right? Zainab Usman is a Nigerian economist.
So first of all, for you to be able to be engaged with this sort of tech startup enterprise, you know, you need to have some sort of advanced knowledge of computing. And when you pair that along with the literacy rates in Nigeria, Nigeria has, for instance, 10 million out-of-school children, which is the highest in the world. You can see that these sorts of emerging sectors are not sectors that would cater to the mass majority of Nigerians.
Startups such as Integra may make a difference, but they are dependent on repats, people such as Adam and Chibuzor, with skills gained abroad that they brought back to Nigeria's big cities.
They're mostly concentrated in Lagos, which is really the heartbeat of Nigeria's economy. When you move away from Lagos and perhaps the capital, Abuja, there really isn't much else in terms of the distribution of these tech startups.
According to Zainab, we need to look beyond these firms to really turn things around. In search of the second big lesson in how to build a successful business, I headed out of Lagos. Innocent Chukwuma is a very successful businessman. He owns 5 different manufacturing companies around the southeast of the country.
This is
PVC plumbing.
PVC for plumbing.
Yeah.
Innocent is very optimistic about Nigeria's future. And looking out over his sprawling complex, it's easy to see why. The government recently gave him land to expand his business. In fact, I reckon he's the largest private sector employer in Enugu State. 4,300 people work at the plastics plant we visited.
In Africa today, anybody who can be able to invest well in Africa in manufacturing, I tell you that in a short time, you make money as you want.
Innocent started small. He was a spare parts trader in his native Newi. He had graduated from turning his brother's spare parts side business to establishing his own import venture. As the prices of motorcycles coming in from Japan increased in the 1980s, he noticed something about the way they were shipped. They were coming in by barge in containers. And being a spare parts trader, he recognized that a motorcycle is made up of individual parts. And so he thought, if he imported the motorcycle in pieces, it would take up a lot less space in the shipping container. And he was right. At the time, importers could fit about 40 pre-assembled motorcycles in a single shipping container. But as individual parts, Innocent could fit more than 200 motorcycles in each container.
So you go from 36 units to 200 units.
220 units in one container.
Innocent now had a significant advantage over his competitors. He could sell his motorcycles for much cheaper.
Yes, because of this, my price is cheaper immediately by 40%.
Okay, but hold on a second, because if you bring them to the country, then you now have another problem because you have to assemble them here.
No, I don't have any problem.
Here's another advantage he had over his competitors. Labor in Nigeria is relatively cheap. A factory worker in Nigeria would earn about $500 a month, which is about $6,000 per annum.
So when I brought the first one, I called the local people, give them small training, they assemble it perfectly, and the price is cheaper.
Much cheaper.
When they're selling about $150,000 for one unit of motorcycle, I sold my own, $80,000.
Innocent's bikes were nearly half the price of his competitors. He sold three containers worth of motorcycles in about 3 months.
So I went back and bring about 10 containers. The 10 containers took me about 1 month to finish.
On the third trip, he ordered 20 containers. And once he had the process down, he was buying 200 containers.
Yes, yes. There's a time I bought about 200 containers in 1 month.
But Innocent's advantage didn't last forever. Soon, everyone was copying his strategy.
By then, the price clashed to 60,000. We brought it down to 60,000. But when I see that the price have come down and everybody's doing it, that is why I built this plastic plant.
Motorcycles were just the beginning for Innocent. He had another realization, that he could manufacture some of the motorcycle parts himself, specifically the plastic parts.
When I went to bring motorcycle again, I bring only the iron parts. I produce the plastic here.
Innocent now makes all kinds of products. His motorcycle business has expanded to cars and buses. His plastic plants now manufacture tables, chairs, water drums, plates, boxes for electricity meters, and much else. And he believes that anyone can follow his lead in Africa, which he refers to as a virgin place for entrepreneurs.
Africa here is a virgin place for business, mainly for manufacturing now.
You say this is virgin territory.
Yes.
But there are still lots of setbacks, you know? People.
There's a lot of setbacks, but every country have setbacks on their own before they will stand. But we have to start. We will start somewhere.
But starting a business in Nigeria is not easy. The day I visited Onitsha Market, a riot broke out. Traders were protesting against a new levy. The Trade Association decided to charge for a CCTV system, which the traders said the state governor had given them for free. It's the sort of surprise cost that wrecks a business plan. But corruption is not even the biggest problem here. The infrastructure presents challenges. Nigeria may be Africa's biggest oil exporter, but according to one estimate, it generates only enough electricity to power a single toaster for every 44 people. People make do with diesel-powered generators, which are costly. And that applies to big factories such as Innocent.
Spend about 60 million on diesel every month.
That is a lot. So you're talking about 100 million naira
100 million
together.
Naira every month.
That's about $500,000.
Yes.
For Innocent, the high cost of energy is a necessary part of doing business in Nigeria. But it puts a real break in what entrepreneurs can achieve. Economist Zainab Usman again.
I really like being optimistic, and on the issue of energy, I don't think there is much optimism at present. Nigeria generates half of what North Korea currently generates. Sadly, it's something that people have grown accustomed to. So I am also Nigerian. I was born and raised in Nigeria. And for as long as I can remember, there have been power cuts. You know, but the thing is, the frequency has now increased. Sadly, it is not getting better. So whereas when I was much younger in the 90s, you know, the power cuts were just sometimes for like an hour or two or even up to 5 hours a day. But now electricity is sometimes only available for like 2-3 hours a day in some areas. In some areas they go for weeks without power. So it's really not improving.
Zainab also points to a recent privatization of the national power company as offering hope for the future. But for now, it does take the shine off Nigeria as a place to do business.
Nigeria's doing business ranking is 170. It has increased a little bit from 175 last year. But it is still difficult. Only the very resilient, the very fierce, the very aggressive are able to survive in this environment.
But my final lesson from Nigeria is that the people I met are not put off by these obstacles. Most people will tell you that Nigeria is growing despite the government rather than because of it.
Thanks, Ankem. Before we let you go, we've been trying to turn a lot of this project over to the people on social media in every country that we're visiting. Can you describe some of the responses that we've gotten on social media in Nigeria and some of the questions?
I mean, for example, if you ask the question, what makes a successful Nigerian business? We posted this on the BBC House of Facebook page, and they said, well, helping others is the best measure of success. That was Sunusi M. Sunusi in Kano in the north. Alhaji Mele Yusufari, who is in Niobe, also in the northeast, one of the states with a state of emergency because of the insurgency in the northeast, helping your subordinates grow if you're someone who's been able to get some employment. Chances are you're helping your brothers and sisters, you're helping your parents back in the village. So there is that multiplier effect of being able to create business and being able to create something from industry. And the real mark of success, the real mark of people who've done well, is who else you can help.
That's the BBC's Ankem Ifejike. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lizzie.
That's all from Six Roots in Nigeria. Next week, we'll be in São Paulo, Brazil, meeting entrepreneurs catering to the new middle class. You can catch up on all of our reporting. Just visit the Marketplace website and click on the Six Roots link. And share your stories with us. How are you making it in the new global economy? A side business, maybe? Just use the hashtag #SixRoots. That's the number 6 and roots, R-O-U-T-E-S.